KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, a divisive election year, and strained budgets are all topics that can create tension in the workplace. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, October 1st. A board that investigates citizens' complaints can now investigate healthcare providers in the county's jails. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The San Diego City Council has delayed voting on a series of increases to water and sewer rates. The Public Utilities Department had proposed 4 rate increases, each taking effect in January. By 2029, water would be 62.5% more expensive in San Diego than it is today. Councilmember Sean Elo Rivera acknowledged the high cost of running the system, but thinks that cost shouldn't fall solely on ratepayers. He asked for an analysis of other measures to generate revenue, like leasing out reservoirs to solar projects.
That analysis should also outline the way that that potential revenue, if generated, could provide relief to working families, locally owned small businesses, and seniors who would feel the benefits the most.
The council will take up the water rates again on October 28th. The 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals this week declined reconsidering a ruling it made earlier. It found that the city of San Diego's ban on yoga classes in public parks and beaches was unconstitutional. The 9th Circuit's initial ruling stems from a city ordinance focusing on street vendors that also prohibited other types of commercial activity with no permit, like yoga classes attended by 4 or more people. 2 mountain lion cubs that were orphaned and arrived malnourished to the Humane Society's Ramona Wildlife Center back in March are back where they belong, in the wild. The young mountain lions were released earlier this week after more than 5 months of rehab. Their care was specialized to limit human interaction, and they were taught essential survival skills, including hunting. Their comeback story is considered a major success for mountain lion conservation in California. Now on to some Cubs we don't want to see thrive. The Padres face the Chicago Cubs again today at Wrigley Field in Game 2 in a best-of-3 National League wildcard series. The winner will advance to the NL Division Series. The Cubs managed to steal Game 1 thanks in part to back-to-back home runs, resulting in a final score of 3-1. It's now up to the Padres to win the next 2 games and try to send these Chicago Cubs back to the Midwest. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
The San Diego County Board of Supervisors voted yesterday to give the Citizens Law Enforcement Review Board, or CLERB, more power. Until now, the board has only been able to investigate the county's own deputies and jail staff after an in-custody death, not the health care providers it contracts to work in the jails. Brett Kalina is CLERB's executive officer.
Over the last couple years, we've had to summarily dismiss many allegations of improper conduct by medical providers. So we weren't even able to investigate it because CLERB didn't have jurisdiction. So a lot of family members felt like they didn't get the answers they were looking for from CLERB.
County documents say CLERB plans to hire healthcare experts to help with these investigations. President Trump, along with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth yesterday, addressed a gathering of almost every general, admiral, and senior enlisted leader in the military. Hegseth and Trump each addressed many of the culture war touchpoints they've targeted in police reforms. Trump told the military brass to be ready to fight enemies within American cities. Don King is a retired military judge working as a private attorney in San Diego. He says it's against federal law to use the military for domestic law enforcement.
Long-standing military tradition and law says that our warfighters must refuse to follow an unlawful order. So it all comes down to whether the order is lawful or not. And that obviously depends on what basis the administration uses to put those troops in the cities.
King says it's unusual to put troops in such a position and could lead to chaos in the ranks. Headlines these days can be scary. Troops in U.S. cities, an assassination of a popular conservative, armed mass agents conducting ICE raids, runaway food, healthcare, and housing costs. The daily grind of bad news can feel like an assault. Debbie Cruz spoke to Amita Sharma about the impact it has on our health.
Amita, we've talked to so many people about how stressful and exhausting the news is now. What's its impact on us?
Well, no newsflash here, Debbie. People feel beaten down physically, chronic stress, especially over matters we cannot control. A bad boss, traffic, the news, spikes the hormone cortisol in our system. There's this neuroscientist at Stanford University by the name of Robert Sapolsky. He wrote the book Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And he says that natural stress response helps us react to threats. So imagine a zebra being chased by a starving lion in the wild. Now, the zebra's stress is short-lived. It escapes or it gets eaten. But Sapolsky says humans are perpetually living in anxiety, which knocks us out of balance and can trigger stress-related illnesses, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. He says stress also reduces our empathy, our tolerance, and our willingness to see another person's perspective. I spoke with UC Irvine nursing and psychology professor Allison Holman. She says repeated exposure to national tragedies, such as the Boston Marathon bombing or the Orlando nightclub shooting, can actually cause collective trauma.
What we're talking about are symptoms of early post-traumatic stress symptoms. So this is things like intrusive thoughts, avoidance, having hypervigilance, feeling like really on edge.
Amita, the reality of everyday political life in America today is that we are divided. What, if any, effect is this polarization having on us?
Well, Holman says people have more mental health issues after political turbulence, such as the January 6th insurrection. Polarized elections have also been shown to increase cortisol levels. Holman says worry over the 2020 election was linked to a 12% greater chance of new illnesses, and it was higher for Republicans than for Democrats, meaning there were worse health consequences for the party that lost. After the 2016 election, preterm births among Latina women jumped. I spoke with local independent voter Hallie DeGroot. She says she gets so upset by the continuous bad news barrage, she sometimes cries.
It just hurts thinking about what, you know, individual people are going through because of all of these things and the way they're being covered.
DeGroot says she is still not tempted to turn away from the news. She vents her frustration to family and friends instead. She's 30. She says she is shocked that America is at this point, and she's very troubled by what might come next amid what she sees as complacency.
We have gotten so docile and complicit with the idea that, you know, politicians are politicians and they just like run things, so they'll also solve this for us.
Another local independent voter I spoke with by the name of Josh Bell, he believes the news is still not bad enough to jar Americans out of the inertia.
It's also bad in the sense where there's not a healthy level of stress to really bring out a change, which is the problem.
The unrelenting heavy headlines have left Bell anxious, fearful, in disbelief, and sometimes numb. He is now reassessing whether to remain in the U.S.
The uncertainty, the lack of unity, it seems to be that the United States is almost crumbling in some sense.
So is there anything that can be done about this?
Well, I'll bring it back to Stanford neuroscientist Sapolsky. He urges people to prioritize their well-being through practicing gratitude, meditating, and exercising. And Holman, the psychology professor at UC Irvine, says that people should really monitor how they're feeling when they're consuming the news, and if they feel overwhelmed, to take deep breaths and take breaks.
Amitha, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
That was Amitha Sharma speaking with Debbie Cruz. Cities all around the world host climate gatherings every year, and now it's San Diego's turn. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says the first San Diego Climate Week kicks off today.
Dozens of miles of beaches, wildlife living among us, scenic trails, waterfalls, and grasslands.
San Diego is the most biodiverse county in America.
That's Jillian Quint. She's an organizer of San Diego Climate Week. It celebrates the county's biodiversity.
We're an incredible region, and it just makes sense to have a climate week here.
But it also spotlights how this biodiversity is under threat from sources like climate change and how San Diegans are being impacted.
We've been facing like the floods, the fires, earthquakes that we have here, and just like certain things. It's like it's here in San Diego.
Erika Rodriguez is the chairperson of the event's planning committee. She says San Diego Climate Week is an opportunity for people who may otherwise not meet to come together and collaborate on climate solutions.
Even just having the week, I think is a goal, because it's going to be bringing people together. It is going to bring climate to the stage.
San Diego Climate Week has something for everyone. There are over 100 community-led events scheduled around the county through October 8th. And most of them are free. One of the central topics of the inaugural event is the Tijuana River sewage crisis. It's why Carolyn Iveyes of North Park says she decided to volunteer. She hopes a panel discussion Friday will help create urgency around stopping the pollution.
How we can develop governance structures to help, you know, this really unfortunate environmental catastrophe that's unfolding in our community, that is kind of an unspoken disaster.
One anchor event on Saturday focuses on learning environmental stewardship from Indigenous leaders. Organizer Jillian Quint again.
The location is the Water Conservation Garden out in East County, and they're going to be bringing the Indigenous perspective around caring for the earth, restoring the land, and regenerating the soil together.
For all the details, visit sdclimateweek.com. Tammy Merga, KPBS News.
The week-long event kicks off today at 5 p.m. with a community bike ride and a panel on clean air at Balboa Park. The San Diego Italian Film Festival kicks off its 19th year tonight with the theme of courage. Cinema junkie Beth Accomando previews the festival that offers an Italian perspective.
The San Diego Italian Film Festival opens with the theme of courage across 8 short films at Digital Gym Cinema. The program, called Ristretto Shorts Night, features stories where courage manifests itself in a variety of ways, from a young actress pushing against convention, to a man carrying another's grief, to Frederick II defying the Vatican to champion art, science, and literature in 13th century Italy. Then on Thursday, the festival moves to the Museum of Photographic Arts with 6 feature films. They embody the theme of courage through portraits of women, teachers, filmmakers, and impassioned politicians, such as Enrico Berlinguer.
Che quest'anno hanno avuto oltre 20 milioni di presenze.
The films may be uniquely Italian in subject matter, but they resonate with universal themes we can all embrace. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.